Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode 19 of the Poor Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Kelly, and I just want to say to all of our listeners, all of our followers out there, thank you so much for liking our stuff on Instagram at poor_sports, subscribing. We love all the feedback that we get from you guys, and it's truly why we do it. So thank you so much. Don't forget to spread the word about us. We appreciate every last bit of that. So with no further ado, we have episode 19 coming up, Poor Sports. Woo! I'm fired up!
This just pumps it!
It's NFL Woo! Reaction Monday on this Thanksgiving Monday. We have so much to talk to you about today. All three of the boys are in studio. I'm your host, Jake Kelly. I got Lee in studio. Lee, say what's up to the people. I didn't tell you're fired up.
This song slaps.
There we go.
This is what you need in the morning.
And we got Jeremy over there. What's going on, baby?
I'm not as fired up as Lee. It's an early morning podcast record, and I'm not used to it, but we'll get through it. And this song definitely helps, I guess. I don't know. It's Nickelback.
Yes, sir. Definitely helps.
Yes, sir. So, like I said, it's NFL Reaction Monday. So much happened in the league yesterday, and we got a lot to talk about. So, first and foremost, we're going to give our thumbs up and our thumbs down from the week that was. So, Lee, why don't you go ahead and start us off? What is your thumbs up?
Thumbs up? All my teams kind of suck as of right now, so it's hard to pick out a team that I really enjoy watching. But I'm going to do it. The number 25 ranked at the time, Cincinnati Bearcats, went on the road to Houston and won by two touchdowns there. There was a lot of people picking us to lose there just because they catch us at the right time with UCF. Go on the road with a huge win right there. Come back home to Tulsa this week. So I'm feeling fired up. It feels good to have one of my teams fired up.
Question, Lee. Do you like promote this podcast towards your Bearcats fans as well? This is a lot of Bearcats. Back-to-back weeks they get on the show. Your Tampa Bay Rays haven't been on the show in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, and well, they lost.
They lost. So why would that be my thumbs up?
Fair enough. Jeremy, what is your thumbs up this week?
Kenyon Drake, the savior of the Miami Dolphins season. They're going winless. He had the chance to convert a two-point conversion to give them the win over the also winless Washington team. And he knew what to do. He dropped that ball. That's good for him.
I respect teams going
for
knows.
Two. He wants Tua. He didn't want the two. He wanted Tua.
Tua. Oh, that was, yeah, for sure.
Early morning and firing from Jeremy.
Absolutely. All right, my thumbs up goes out to Kyle Allen. 9 touchdowns.
Undefeated.
0 interceptions. Undefeated. I am ready to start the Carolina quarterback controversy.
He fumbles a lot still. He didn't fumble this past game, but he does fumble a little bit.
The Carolina quarterback controversy has started.
I think so.
If you are...
I just got a report on my phone saying that like there's 10 teams already calling Carolina about Cam Newton.
As they should. He's still a good quarterback.
He is. Okay, but is Christian McCaffrey balling out right now and making Kyle Allen look really, really good?
He's the best safety valve in the league.
Well, yeah. And you... Jeremy's on record as saying that he thinks Christian McCaffrey is going to break this year.
I think he's going to break this year.
They're actually using him more this year than they were last year.
It's nuts.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's my thumbs
up. Stanford, man.
That's my thumbs up to Kyle Allen and the creation of the quarterback controversy in Carolina. Anyways, we'll move on to our thumbs down.
Quick note, though.
Yeah.
Is there a quarterback controversy maybe going to start in New Orleans? Teddy Bridgewater undefeated.
No.
Undefeated.
Not at all. That's all coaching.
Wins talk, though.
Fair. And it is interesting that we are willing to start a quarterback controversy, at least I am, in Carolina. But I think Drew Brees has kind of earned that.
Yeah, the Saints, they are just in good hands after Drew Brees leaves.
Yeah.
Clearly it's Carolina, too.
I'm not ready to say that yet. There's been like some pretty bad quarterbacks that have had pretty good runs. Tim Tebow.
Go.
Yeah.
He has a playoff win.
He does. That's more than a lot of people can say. Anyways, we'll move on. Our thumbs down. Lee, again.
My thumbs down goes to not making money. Like, I had been struggling.
Long weekend.
Yeah.
He hasn't been working.
Yeah. Like,
is that why?
I just, it's one of these times where you're like, you're down so much, you don't want to bet. And then you get the awful tax stuff like Saturday night. It's like, did you bet? And I'm like, no. He goes, my best friend Graham, who Jake and Graham always have great exchanges on Instagram.
We do.
He goes, yeah, I'm up $190. You should have followed me. And I go, oh, my God, I want to throw up because I just wanted to take the weekend off and not lose money. So then when you hear other people winning money, you're pissed off.
So his thumbs down is to not being a degenerate gambler.
Yeah, because I'll throw money on this weekend and I'll be like, let's do it, Graham.
If you have a gambling problem, call 1-888.
Just call my number and we can talk about picks. And maybe we'll fix it together. So go ahead and call my number.
There you go. That's smart. That's smart. Jeremy, what's your thumbs down to?
The thumbs down is to the Mitch Marner, John Tavares duo.
That's like a $25 million duo right there.
That line needs to get going. And Leafs Nation has been on Twitter and on Facebook and pretty much everywhere screaming, they just need Zach Hyman back. I'm sorry, you guys. You're being paid $22 million this year. You guys shouldn't need a $2.5 million Zach Hyman, to get you going.
Should put Spezza on that line.
You should make that. That's an awful idea, but that's for another day. They need to get going. Mitch Marner doesn't look too bad because he's still getting a whole bunch of power play points, which are garbage. But
okay, I'm gonna pause you there. Why are power play points garbage?
They're easier to come by when you have that stacked of a power play.
That's ridiculous. Is a point a point?
A point's a point.
Okay, perfect. Don't call a point garbage.
No, because you could put William Nylander in the Mitch Marner spot there, and Mitch Marner would be struggling on the second unit getting any points because of how garbage his play has been, and William Nylander could have probably gotten more power play points on the first unit in the same Mitch spot.
Hey, 101.
That's a lot of ifs and probably.
Yeah, let's stop talking about garbage power play points because I'm a Nashville Predators fan, and we don't score on the power play, so it's actually the worst.
And Pecorine sucks.
We can't keep the puck out of the friggin' net.
Pecorine sucks.
This is my thumbs down, and it's to Mitch Marner, so let me have the floor, okay? Screw Mitch.
All right. Wow.
His points are inflated, and if this was Willie last year, we saw what it was like when he had a slow start.
Willie wasn't even playing at this point. He's still overseas.
Well, so, a slow start, Willie's start.
Sure.
So, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, get it together, and Mitch was saying, the chemistry just doesn't seem to be here yet. Well, maybe if you showed up to training camp, Mitch.
Oh.
Boom. But he's got to get his money. He's got to get that money.
That's my thumbs down.
All right. I want to say my thumbs down is to your valuation of power play points, but I digress. My thumbs down is to Sean McVay and the LA Rams.
27 yards of passing at that first half.
That was pathetic to watch, and I know I'm going to get it about Cooper Kupp, and we'll get there.
Oh, we will get there.
I think that we have severely underrated how important and how good Todd Gurley was. Because they don't look like
they're scared to use anyone else.
And if a pass interference play was called in the NFC Championship game last year, maybe we all wouldn't be so surprised that they're now 3-3. But we've used them as this potential Super Bowl winning team. And they look not great. And I don't want to put too much on Jared Goff because if you throw for like 900 yards in two games and you still don't win, it might be the defense's fault or, you know.
That defense can't stop anything. Like, I feel like we could you play in the Turkey Bowl today, you could take your offense right there and probably still score like
21. Well, I'm the quarterback, so probably, yeah.
Yeah, no.
So I'm going to take this more towards a Patriots side of things.
Oh, here we
go. Where the Patriots beat them in the Super Bowl and now each coach is going back and looking at the film and be like, oh, I'm going to do this and see if that's what stops them. I'm going to do this and see if that's what's going to stop them.
I don't agree with that because they still put up 40 on Tampa.
Okay, well that's not.
And they should have.
Everybody's putting 40 up on Tampa.
Yeah, Kyle Allen put up 30. Whatever.
But, they should have kicked a field goal and won last week
against Seattle.
Right? So like, I think that's easy to say when you look at the win loss columns, but not.
That's all that matters, though.
I know, but what I'm saying is that it's
are you
easy.
Devaluing wins? Is a win not a win?
Is that garbage? Is that are you considering that garbage wins?
No, clearly not. what I was saying, I was disagreeing with Jeremy's point about how everyone's looking at the Patriots film and that's how you stop them. Well, not really, because they should have beat Seattle if their kicker can kick a 47-yarder.
What's Cup stat line from yesterday?
And there's a lot of shoulds and ifs and probablys.
What was Cup stat line yesterday, by the way?
He had 3 catches and
11. Like, was it 11 yards?
I don't know.
Let's go with Robert Woods. What was his stat line? 0. It's actually just zeros.
Well, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, rushing touchdown.
1 touchdown.
Rushing touchdown.
So I think they paid Jared Goff all this money, so they're wanting him to throw the ball more now, when they should just be using Malcolm Brown and the guy they traded up for in the 3rd round, Daryl Henderson. He looked good yesterday. Mm-hmm. He had a fumble, which I'm going to blame on rookies.
The classic. Itch,
kind of, yeah, but they didn't use him for the first 3 games. Maybe mm-hmm. give him some snaps. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Run the ball. I don't care if it's not Todd Gurley back there.
I wish that there was more quarterback movement in the NFL, like akin to other sports, right? In hockey or in basketball, you know, something's not working, you make a trade, right? You trade for a new point guard or you get a new centerman. Like, would Andy Dalton be good on the Rams?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he would.
I think he would be too. Like, he doesn't have time to throw the ball ever.
They have Andy Dalton as Jared Goff's backup. His name's Blake Bortles.
That's so disrespectful to Andy Dalton.
I want you to apologize.
That's
apologize. Apologize. Apologize.
Apologize to Lee's redheaded brother.
Yeah, come on. You're
going
to go.
On
you're
Instagram
gonna...
today. Is Andy Dalton Blake Bortles? Yes or no?
If that's yes, I'll be stunned.
Yeah. Well, let's toss it right now. All right. Well, why don't we end it there? We're going to toss that up on Instagram. So when you're listening to this, check this out on Instagram, the poll. Anyways, stay with us. We've got a hefty 2-minute drill coming up next on the Poor Sports Podcast.
3 receptions, 11 yards.
Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
All right, it's that time to make some money. I came through last week. I told you to take the points for New England. I was worried, but they did it. They came through. So my record moves to 8-6. We're going to continue on my Thursday night betting trends for football. Kansas City, Denver. Right now the line is at -3.5. So for Kansas City, obviously. I'm saying Kansas City will cover that. Certainly. Take Kansas City on the road against Denver, -3.5 points. You heard it here first. Poor Sports. All right. It's time for the...
Are the Seahawks in town?
I don't get that reference.
They had a Sally yesterday where they did the...
They did
the bye-bye-bye.
And they hit the choreography perfectly.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah. So it's time for the 2-minute drill. For those of you who don't know the drill on the 2-minute drill, pretty much we have a number of different topics from the week in sports that we just touch on briefly, kind of quick hit style, about 2 minutes or so each. So with no further ado, we're going to get to it. Lee, you are our resident baseball expert. Give us the rundown on what's happening in the world of baseball.
Okay, so we are now in the CS series, the championship series here, mm-hmm. and we have... The NL was nothing but upsets. You had the Nationals knock off the World Series co-favorites with the Astros, but they knocked out the Dodgers. And then you had a horrible Game 5 Braves-Cardinals. The Cardinals scored 10 in the top of the first.
Yeah, that one was rough.
And then the Cardinals have almost forgotten how to play baseball because over the next 2 games, the Nationals have only allowed 4 hits over the last 2 games, and they take a 2-0 series lead back home to Washington. And mm-hmm. I find this the funniest it could be because Bryce Harper's just sitting on his couch because he wanted to leave to go bring a championship. And
he wanted to leave to wherever they were bringing him more money. Let's
go. Washington was going to pay him, though. He wanted to leave.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then the AL went exactly how everybody thought it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
The Twins never showed up for the series, and the Rays battled. That's one thing.
The Rays did battle. That was a nice little feel-good story. Like, that's kind of like – that's a team that you can make a movie about. right? Like, oh, like the little engine that could, and then they lost out to the big bad guys and whatever, right?
Yeah, we just got
They were never heard of again.
We
got Garrett Cole twice.
Four years later, they moved to Montreal.
So yeah. Zach Greinke, the big story right now, though, sucks. He's 0-2 now in the playoffs. He gave up 7 to the Rays, and he gave up 6 to the Yankees in his first two starts, and just goes to show, like, money can't buy everything, because he's...
So, if you are the Houston Astros, are you worried about your rotation?
I'm not worried about the rotation, but I would think about switching Wade Miley into that third spot and putting Zach Greinke into the bullpen, because it's not working with Zach Greinke.
I don't think Greinke's a bullpen guy at all.
Okay, then at that point, maybe throw him to the four spot, but I think that series is now 1-1 because we had a walk-off from Correa last night, which I found out from Jeremy, Sportsnet was on commercial when that home run happened. Sportsnet?
I don't know who that is.
we're TSN family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're big TSN guys here. That's why. Typical Sportsnet.
Yeah, typical Sportsnet. Yeah. We hate Sportsnet.
Yeah, screw them.
So, and I'm not making light of this situation at all. Zach Greinke has, like, documented, like, problems with, like mental health. Is it, it's anxiety and so on, isn't it? I'm just wondering what that might take, what toll moving him, like, losing his spot in the rotation, taking him to the bullpen, might have on his psyche. And again, I'm not making light of this, but is he at a spot? I don't know. Is that something that people might take into consideration?
If you're talking about anxiety, though, and all of a sudden, like, now you got to think it's in his head. Like, if they put him back on the mound, 0-2, shelled by two teams. Like, the Rays don't shell anybody, really. Like, they always keep it close with pitching, and they shelled Zach Greinke.
And Zach Greinke could totally be, like, over that hump that he's went through in his part of his life.
Yeah.
But... All right, you have a reputation like that. It hangs around you.
Okay.
So
quickly here, because by the time we record next, there could be some teams in. Who's your World Series between these two?
My World Series.
Between the four teams.
I'm gonna say the Bronx Bombers.
So you think they're gonna win back in New York, take control of the series here?
I'm gonna say the Yankees, and I'm going to say the Cardinals.
You think the Cardinals come back from 0-2 as well? Wow.
I think it's baseball, man.
Yeah, anything could happen, right?
I have the Yankees of the AL, and as well as Jake. I don't know who's going to come out of the NL, but whoever does, it's going to be a sweep in the World Series.
Wow, for the AL?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to go the complete opposite. I'm going to take the Astros just because of that rotation, that team, etc. And I'm going to take Washington. They're the best pitching team left.
That's fair.
Right? And I actually would take Washington if the Yankees got through. But I think Houston wins if Houston gets through to the World Series.
Can we do a fun bit of trivia right here?
Sure.
Right now?
Always.
So, as of last podcast, we were still in the previous round. And then Clayton Kershaw went out and blew another game.
That was pathetic.
For
that
the
was
Dodgers.
Pathetic, yeah.
So now he leads all time in games where it's win or go home. He's given up the most home runs of all time.
Wow.
With 10.
He threw six pitches and gave up two home runs.
Back-to-back whammy.
How many home runs is in second place?
Four.
Six.
Split the difference, boys. Five.
Wow.
Yeah, he's given up twice as many as the next most unclutch pitcher of all time.
Yeah, literally. All right.
He's still the best pitcher the last 10 years.
No. Anyways, let's keep moving on here. That's a terrible take.
That's a bad take. Oh, man. Okay, we're going to move
Justin
on from
Verlander
that.
Just stopped pitching for the last 10 years?
Yeah.
That was horrible.
You just slid that in there right when you know we want to move on.
Yeah,
let's
move on, because that was horrible. What a bad taste in my mouth I have.
So.
Horrible.
We're going to talk some basketball for a second. No shocking news to anyone.
Nobody.
Anthony Davis got hurt. Wow.
AD to the IR.
He was just literally going up for a block. And
okay. But here, let's talk some fun trivia here. Has, aside from last year when he sat out more than half the year because he wanted to trade, etc., right? Has Anthony Davis ever missed more than 22 games in a year?
22 is a lot.
Has he ever missed more than 22
games? So, no. I'm going to say no.
Obviously, since you're the biggest LeBron pumper here, and this helps LeBron.
He's always played at least 60 games. Always played. And he's known it for being a Band-Aid, and I get that, but I think maybe it's a bad rap.
I still think that's a lot of games to miss.
Someone who was known as a Band-Aid just won the championship last year.
Kawhi?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Load management, baby.
Load management.
Lakers aren't winning it.
Okay, well, we're not just going to go right to that.
Yeah. This is that simple.
But yeah, so Anthony Davis got hurt. I don't know. I don't know if it's overreaction time yet. It's a, it was like a thumb sprain or something like that. I don't know. The Lakers need him to be healthy if they want to do anything.
If
they have any serious championship aspirations, he has to be good. But I think that there might be something to be said for load management. But
I want to know what the Instagram and Poor Sports listeners think is worse. Jake and Jeremy's baseball takes or Lee's basketball takes?
I don't know. I don't know my basketball takes. My only take was Lakers aren't winning at all.
You just jumped right there.
Because
I know what I know what I'm like when I'm talking baseball. I just throw something wild.
I don't think that's that wild. Or that's not that wild.
Something that's like very basic.
You're saying I'm taking the field versus the Lakers.
Yeah,
and that's you're welcome. Of a hot take. Like, wow.
I know. It's not a hot take. That's so like it should happen.
Next year I'm taking the field versus the Rays.
Yeah.
So now we're comparing the Lakers to the Rays. See? This is what I'm learning from this. Let's move on then. Lakers equal the Rays. That's what we got from this.
All right. Anyways, we'll stick with basketball just for one more bit here. The whole NBA in China thing has sort of taken – it's been weird. I'll weigh on this first. So, again, if you haven't followed this, essentially there's – free speech issues in China, and the NBA has a lot of business interests in China, and China's blocking out the games, not putting the games on their state-run TV, which is all the TV that they pretty much have, and so on and so forth. It came to the point where a reporter for CNN asked James Harden whether or not he would feel differently about speaking out about social issues in light of these recent events, and the reporter got shut down. Well, this happened in Japan. So this is not – and then there's people who are getting kicked out of basketball games in Philadelphia with Free Hong Kong signs in Philadelphia. This seems – it just seems really weird.
It is. And I want to ask you guys whether you're for or against maybe guys like Russell Westbrook and James Harden, because they were both at the podium together, I'm pretty sure. Digressing because they don't know – they're not educated well enough on the subject to speak out against it.
I think you can say, I'm not educated well enough on this subject, so I appreciate your question, but – and you can give some
I think there's someone better to ask this question
to. Yeah, you can give some very wishy-washy kind of comment that just kind of satisfies everyone.
I think
that's
like probably being like coached now. Right, like now it's now that they that was like almost like the test dummy. Like they're like, are the reporters going to ask it? And now it's there. And now it's like the PR guys are like, this is what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm. It's just
it is a very weird. It's like a weird start to the NBA now. Now it's like there's like something almost like over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a cloud. Yeah. And they're saying that the salary cap could go down if they can't figure this stuff out with China because China's such a massive market.
Yeah, they are.
In terms of consuming both like jerseys, shoes, like Anta, who is like Klay Thompson, Kyle Lowry's shoe deal. They're like suspending operations with the NBA right now.
So right now, like the China versus Hong Kong stuff's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sports podcast, so I'm going to put a sports take on it.
Yeah.
It's the NBA versus China right now.
Yeah.
It's a game of chicken. It's... okay, we know that you don't like Daryl Morey speaking out against the Free Hong Kong thing. However, we still have the best product on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to be
watch
with
the
us,
African basketball league that they're starting
to. Like go watch second tier basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. They'll come back eventually. I don't care.
Yep.
Money talks, and it's a good partnership for both brands. So I think the NBA needs to step up a little bit and just call them out and be like, okay, you're going to come back to us eventually.
Yeah.
So we'll be here.
Yeah.
Whenever you're ready. We'll move on, but fun little side note about NBA in China. Jeremy Lin scored 40 points in his Chinese Basketball Association debut. 40 points for
and
Jeremy
Lin. He's playing on the same team as his brother, right?
Yeah. That's just a fun little tidbit.
Yeah.
And it just shows, like, sometimes we forget how good these pro athletes are. Like, Jeremy Lin could not get on the floor for the Raptors last year, and then he just walks into.
To be fair, they're the NBA champions.
Yes, but yeah, and then he drops 40. It's
half
just
empty, half full. How bad is the Chinese league?
I think it's arguably the second best league. I think the Euro league.
Yeah, I think the Euro.
But
anyways, continue.
We'll move on. You get a phone call. I'm not saying which team you are, and they say, on the line. I want to trade my quarterback for your quarterback. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Who makes the call first and who thinks about it longer?
That's a really good swap.
That's actually, yeah, so I'll take the lead here. I think it's the Titans calling Tampa Bay, and I think Tampa Bay takes the longest to review what they got. Would be my take on this. And would I do it? Yes, I would.
You would trade Mariota.
I'm so sick. I pumped him up. He looked great in LA. He had one turnover, one bad throw. But then I was watching the game yesterday, which is still a stupid 9:30 a.m. And it was just fumble, sack. And it's like not O-line. O-line's fault. Interception, fumble. And I was like, what's going on? Is this Pop Warner? This is terrible.
I like that they're the number one, number two quarterbacks from that draft, and they're both struggling for completely different reasons. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston takes too much risks, has a low football IQ, and turns the ball over too much, but still ends up with 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. I should have went higher with that, because now it's like
1,000 yards?
He had 400 yards yesterday, which is a good amount of yards, but he got sacked 7 times.
Yeah.
And it felt fumbled like it was, twice.
It felt like it was McCoy every single time, the X-Buck, and he was just...
Threw 5 picks. So he was just turning the ball over. Where Marcus Mariota, they had 0 points through 3 quarters, and they're like, we have to push the ball downfield. You can't just do nothing with the ball forever.
Check down every single time.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, they're going to put Tannehill in. You might have just a complete quarterback swap, because Jameis Winston's high risk, high reward, and then you got Ryan Griffin behind him, who's garbage and isn't an NFL quarterback.
Whoa.
And then on the other side, you got Tannehill and Mariota, who are both like probably between the 30th and 40th best quarterbacks in the league.
Why did Ryan Griffin just get that heat there?
Because he doesn't have an NFL arm, and like you can't pull Jameis Winston
for
him.
He had 400 yards every preseason game he's playing this year.
Okay.
So did Mike Boone.
If you're same scenario, sub out Marcus Mariota and the Titans for Jacoby Brissett and the Colts.
Oh, I would do that deal on a heartbeat.
I'll take Brissett.
Yeah,
I'll take Brissett
in a heartbeat.
Interesting.
Look at what's happening in San Francisco right now.
I want Joe Burrow in the draft. I don't want Tua. I don't want Fromm. I don't want. Have you seen Joe Burrow's stat lines for LSU? LSU's putting up like 50 points a game.
They're a good offensive team, and they have like a legitimate quarterback now. But we're talking about Brissett here, and it's the Patriots and the 49ers who are undefeated right now. Both Patriots quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett was the other guy there. He beat Kansas City last week. I don't trust Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota to beat.
There's your answer.
Kansas City.
There's your answer. Anyways, we'll move on. Speaking of the Chiefs, Texans versus Chiefs, the Texans beat the Chiefs, and that's... If you're a gambler and you took the Texans there, you had to have had inside information.
No, I think like DeAndre Hopkins is very good.
In Kansas
Will
City.
Fuller's very good.
Tyreek Hill was back, though, for the Chiefs, too, right?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson at this point of the season is the MVP.
Ooh.
Christian McCaffrey has something to say about
that. He does have something to say, but they're always going to give it to the quarterback.
I don't think when McCaffrey's putting up these type of numbers, you can even argue that.
He has
right
9
now.
Touchdowns in 5
That's
games.
That's another thing we can put on the Instagram.
Yeah.
So right now, I like, because it was since Arrowhead opened and since they recorded the time of possession stat, it was the least amount of time Kansas City had the ball at home.
Wow. And this is not like a new idea. Keep the ball out of the other team's hands, and then they can't score points.
What did you think of that last final drive there? It was 4th and 1. It was a chip shot field goal, and they went for it still to keep the ball.
You saw it the week before with the Colts. The Colts did it too, and they were only up like 3, or they're up 3. Yeah, they're up 3. Sorry, final
but
answer.
But this would have given.
And they kept running the ball with Mac. It was 4th and 1. They had 2 different 4th and 1s, and they ran it both times. You need that just because how quick Kansas City can take the ball and go down the field and score.
But it was like under 2 minutes left, and it would have put it to 2 scores. I know it worked out.
Oh, it would have put it to 2 scores?
Yeah, because they were up by 7.
Yeah, I don't know if I do that then. I would probably kick the field goal. 2 scores with 2 minutes left.
You got Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman on the other side, but...
You also just have, like, J.J. Watt, like on your defense. Like, trust your defense. I always think on if you can give a chance to trust your defense.
Because
they need that confidence.
That was my game of the week.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Let's talk about the coaching hot seats I think that there's – I think Jason Garrett is on the hot seat. But I think if we were to start this podcast 6 years ago and every single time we came in and said Jason Garrett might be on the hot seat, we would have – it would have been like 15 times.
I think with Jason Garrett quickly is I think the players are starting to lose respect for him. I think there was the video yesterday after they made that defensive stop and he was going out there like high fives like, hey, good stop, good stop. And guys are just rolling by him. Like they don't want any part – of what he's even saying. Do you think he's maybe run his course there and he's maybe starting to lose that locker room?
This is my prediction right here. Jason Garrett finishes the season as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. They make the change in the offseason. They give it to budding coaching superstar Kellen Moore, who's their OC right now. They really like him. They move him to head coach, and then somebody's a free agent at the end of the year. He's going to step out of the broadcasting booth into the OC shoes.
Tony Romo.
Oh wow. That's juicy. I like that. We can run on that one. That'll be called first by the Poor Sports Podcast. Give us credit.
That's interesting.
You have to make sure you give us credit.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Okay, well, let's just quickly then on the whole hot seat thing, let's each take a coach that you don't think is going to make it through the season. Is everybody okay with that?
Wait, make it through week 10.
I think it's the season. Like you don't finish.
There's going
to
be multiple coaches.
I know, so that's why we just got to pick one. We got to pick one. There's three of us here. We can't piggyback. Since I'm asking, I'm obviously going to go first.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to go last since you're asking.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll go last.
I'll start. Freddie Kitchens sucks. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is actually a real football like coach or just some actor that they've hired and said, you're a big fat guy who looks like he knows football. Boom.
No, the Browns need to like have some sort of like stability there.
They're the Browns.
The Browns suck.
They
man.
Need it. They won't get it. Especially when they are what? They'll go be 2-10.
I don't think that's a little extreme. But
I don't know if
the
it is.
Browns
suck. The Browns suck. Baker Mayfield sucks.
Odell Beckham Jr.
No.
Sucks.
No.
Jarvis Landry.
No.
They
sucks.
Just need to go back to like an RPO offense with timing throws with Baker. That's what I think they have to do. Anyways, my pick is Anthony Lynn in the Chargers. The Chargers were that team of destiny. We saw them pick to win the Super Bowl quite a bit preseason, and yeah, a lot of it's injuries, but someone has to take the fall eventually. And it's not like you can't just cut Phillip Rivers, who's been your franchise quarterback. It's like the Eli situation all over again, to a lesser extent.
Yeah.
But Anthony Lynn will take the fall there before the season's out.
I'm going with Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons.
And that's a good pick, too.
The right? owner just gave him the...
I don't care what the owner says. If they just keep losing, and I'm going to give you the scenario here. The Bucs are on a bye week.
Yeah, so those are famous last words.
Yeah.
Famous last words. You got our approval.
Yeah.
I think they get rid of the D coordinator there. I don't think they get rid of they've been putting
Why?
Up points.
They suck on offense.
They need
suck
Kyle
on
Shan-
offense. They've been putting up 30 points week in and week out.
They need Kyle Shanahan to come back from San Francisco. Because that was the only thing holding that team together.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you the scenario right here. I think Dan Quinn's job's on the line. Not this week because the Bucs are on bye, but then the Bucs come to Atlanta the following week. They have to win that game for Dan Quinn and still be the head coach of that team.
Julio Jones, does he exist?
Yeah, he's still really good.
Dude, he came out and said at the preseason, he's like, I might screw around, get 3,000 yards. Yeah, right, you're going to do that.
Austin Hooper has a larger percentage of completions and yards on the season.
That's crazy.
Than Julio Jones.
It's like tight ends and slot wide receivers get better looks.
Yeah, it's just because it's a bad O-line, right?
Yeah.
So it's just check down to Austin Hooper quite a bit.
And your slot wide receiver, who's Sanu there. He's been getting some good yards, too. So it's like slot wide receivers here.
Mm-hmm.
Just a product.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, so it's time for me to face my words. Cooper Kupp had a very good game.
He had a horrible game.
Odell Beckham Jr. existed finally.
I have footage of Odell Beckham Jr. here.
I can't wait for this.
1 second. That's what he did.
What?
He exploded.
What did he have? What was his line?
I don't know. Six for 101, I think.
How many touchdowns?
I do not recall.
Zero. Zero touchdowns.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
He had a good game. I'll give it to him. He's Odell Beckham Jr.
Three receptions.
He's supposed to be doing that game in and game out. So the fact that, oh, wow, he finally got over 100 yards and we are, like, ready to throw the parade for Odell Beckham Jr.
No, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing. We're saying Cooper Kupp came down to reality, and what happens when all of a sudden you have a good linebacking core and a good safety core that covers slot wide receivers like the 49ers do, and that's in division, so you got to do that twice a year. He's going to be shut down because Quan Alexander, the middle linebacker there, can cover Cooper Kupp. And if it's not him, it's Everett at the back as a safety. They will cover him, and that's just the problem there. When all of a sudden you have tough coverage on you, like he did yesterday, he was non-existent.
I like how fired up Lee was there, and that gave me a brand new segment idea. We're going to throw it to the Poor Sports listeners because Jake is like our baseball expert resident. Jake seems to be our hot take resident. So if you want to yell at Jake about one of his hot takes, we're going to post something that will let you like send in audio, and then we'll let Jake respond to it week in and week out.
It's just going to be Graham Davey every single week just absolutely going off on you.
I just think it's hilarious that Odell Beckham Jr. finally gets over 100 yards, which everyone expects from him every week, and we're willing to say that's exploding. No, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
I think this week it was more OBJ did what he was supposed to do, and Cooper Kupp
continued to be
a product of his environment.
It's a product. He's a product.
They also, let's not discount the fact that San Francisco is good.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean,
they're
though.
They're good. So you're not going to be playing San Francisco every single week.
Seattle is also good. Seattle's good.
Russell Wilson is very good. Yeah. But so I get it. I'm willing to say next week it's unfortunate because Cleveland has a bye next week.
Oh, that's frustrating
for me because I was ready to toss money saying Cooper Kupp has a better week than OBJ next week. But we'll hold off and we'll go to the next week.
You know the matchups.
We'll go to the next week.
You know the matchups.
I'm just saying.
The Cleveland Browns play New England in New England.
Stephen Gilmore.
If you're so good, and if you're willing to crucify Cooper Kupp for having a bad game against an undefeated team,
yeah,
then I certainly am able to crucify Odell Beckham Jr. when he inevitably has a horrible game against New England.
I'm not saying.
Because we all know that's what's going to happen. You know why? Because Odell Beckham Jr. is not that good.
He's better than Cooper Kupp, though.
The Rams get the Bengals.
Yeah, we talked about this last night off pod. He's like, oh, I don't mind that one, is what he said.
Anyways. Oh, I'm fired up. So, on that note, we are going to stop here, and we have a Stretch 4 hockey segment coming up next on the Poor Sports Podcast.
Poor Sports. All right, Lee Kuzmich back for some bets. I went 2-1. I gave you guys two freebies. And in all honesty, Iowa +4.5 should have hit. They went for two. Really close. Didn't get it. Oh, well. We bounced back. That makes me 17-8. And I'm going to come back just with, I'm going to go with two. You know, I'm going to go with three because I keep doing it. And we're going back to college. We're going to stick with Iowa. Iowa was good to us last week, and we're going to keep it going. Purdue travels to Iowa. We're going to take the under on Purdue's total points of 15.5. I don't think they score two touchdowns and add to that just because Penn State went in there and only scored 17. That's a way better team. That's number one. LSU, let's stick with them. LSU's over in points is 40.5. I've just been riding the LSU train all year long. They score points. They're playing Mississippi State. Take that, 40.5. Take LSU. And finally, let's keep going with teams that are hot. Let's just keep doing that. Ohio State is away in Northwestern. I don't care. Northwestern's a terrible team. They're going to be terrible all year. Over in 38 points for Ohio State, they scored 34 against Michigan State, who has one of the best defenses in the Big Ten. So take those. Those are my three bets. Three winners. You can parlay them. Just bet them individually. It's your call. But those are winners. Poor sports, baby.
Right, Poor Sports listeners, it is time for Stretch 4. So, how this game works, we have four statements. All of them are pretty out there. They're stretches, if you will. Our job in this game is to determine which one of these is the biggest stretch, the craziest statement, the most outlandish one, dare I say. So we have four outlandish statements from the world of the NHL. I will read them off, and then we will discuss.
It's nice to talk some hockey.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, the leaves are changing. The weather's getting colder.
Oh, for God's sake.
And the leaves better be changing.
Oh.
Nice. All right, so statement number one. The Oilers will win 60 games this year. And I'll just give a bit of context here.
Wow.
The Oilers weren't projected to be that good this year. They're undefeated. And just for context, Tampa Bay, who had a phenomenal year last year, won 62 games. So, statement number one, the Oilers will win 60 games this year. Statement number two, the Anaheim Ducks will win the Stanley Cup.
Oof! Quack! Quack! Quack!
Quack! Oh,
statement, we're done. Statement number three, Marc-Andre Fleury will pass Curtis Joseph on the all-time wins
list.
So
that's an additional 47
wins. So Marc-Andre Fleury would have to get 47 wins, which... What do goalies typically get?
Good goalies. 35 to 40.
Because they play around 60-ish games or so. So, yeah. And lastly, Dougie Hamilton is the unanimous Norris Trophy winner.
Well, he's winning the Norris. I know that much.
Oh.
So, the unanimous Norris Trophy winner. So, which one of these is the biggest stretch, the most outlandish statement? Jeremy, why don't you start?
So we got the Oilers, we got Fleury, we got Dougie Hamilton.
And we got the Ducks.
And the Ducks. The Ducks aren't winning the Cup. That's the largest stretch. They're bottom of the payroll team. Maybe that's why. I'm pretty sure Lee likes the Ducks.
I don't like the Ducks. I think you like the Ducks more than me because you love Gibson.
I'm a big Gibson guy.
I know that.
If they find a way into the playoffs, then maybe Gibson like has 16 straight shutouts and they win the Cup. But that's about the only way they're going to do that.
But you're saying that it's possible.
You're saying that
they're all possible.
Yeah. Well, Lee, what do you think is the biggest stretch?
Dougie Hamilton unanimously wins the Norris Trophy.
He's winning the Norris Trophy. I don't care
if he wins the Norris Trophy. You're saying unanimously, and I don't think that will happen.
So Carolina was the team that everyone was super happy for last year, but didn't really catch on until about halfway through the season. The writers are liking them. The broadcasters are liking them. And Dougie Hamilton is the 1A defenseman on a stacked Carolina group.
Does that mean he's going to win unanimously? Like, you're just forgetting about 30 other teams.
Dougie Hamilton.
John Carlson. Christopher Letang. Rasmus Dahlin. Drew Doughty. Brett Burns. Are all within 3 points of Dougie Hamilton. Dougie Hamilton's not even leading in points.
Dougie Hamilton's doing it on a Carolina team that's not going to score in bunches.
I think it's the biggest stretch for unanimous.
Jake, your thoughts?
I think that the biggest stretch is that the Oilers will win 60 games.
Oh, so we're all three different.
That is a stretch.
They have the best player on the planet, which is what...
Here's my rationale. Anaheim wins the Cup.
You get hot. Any team can get hot. Just get in.
It might be crazy. It's not that crazy. Marc-Andre Fleury passing Curtis Joseph.
I just don't think he plays the
game. That was my second craziest one.
47 wins, that's a lot. That'd be really hard to do.
I just don't think he played that many games.
Hey, man, it might become a PR thing. If he gets into that range, you might try it. Dougie Hamilton winning the unanimous Norris. If he has a phenomenal year, I think unanimous is a stretch. But I think that 60 games for the Oilers, that's a stretch.
Okay, so let's flip it. What do you think is the most likely thing of those four to happen?
Anaheim winning the Cup.
I was going to say Anaheim winning the Cup, but since we're all just going different.
No, stick with your gun. You can say Anaheim winning the Cup.
No, I'm going to go with the Oilers win 60 games. I think any team, it's the regular season. I think if McDavid or Seidel, they stay hot. If James Neal wants to score 60 goals a year.
Which he might.
They could make a run for it. They got the new coach there that they're all responding to. They're getting goaltending, right, which has always been the big problem with them.
Mm-hmm.
People forget, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they made it to the conference finals.
Yeah.
Right? Or the semis. Conference semis and lost to the Ducks. Either way, I think the regular season's different than the playoffs, but those would be my 1-2.
Can I just replay what I was telling Lee about Dougie Hamilton a minute and a half ago? Dougie Hamilton's going to win the Norris. It's whether he wins it unanimously or not. So I'm putting myself in that stride. It's like, you saying Ducks are going to make the playoffs, so it could happen. I'm saying Dougie Hamilton's winning the Norris, so unanimously, could happen. Like,
fair enough.
He's been a guy that constantly drives play. I think the other night it was mostly with him on the ice, but Carolina had a line that the expected goal percentage was 97 when they were on the ice. When they were on the ice for like 15 minutes.
What is expected goal percentage?
So like because of the chances that each chance is graded, whether it's a slap shot from the blue line or whether it's like
a point blank.
Or yeah like a cross crease one timer.
Sure.
So they had 97% of the expected goals when they were on the ice. And Dougie Hamilton was a part of the group.
Like, speaking on defensemen just quickly, want to know what defenseman grinds my gears? It's not going to be Dougie Hamilton. Brett Burns. Brett Burns grinds my gears.
Why?
Because, for instance, he's up here. So I'm looking at the points. I have them up right now. Brett Burns has 5 points, right? Guess what his plus minus is, though?
Plus minus is an outdated stat. Get rid of it. Guess
what his plus minus is,
I wanted to just erase this from the podcast because I don't want any plus minus talk on this podcast.
Jake, guess what his plus minus is?
-6.
-4. So that means he scored 5 points, but he's still been on the ice for 9.
That means power play points are garbage because they don't count for your plus minus.
Wait, what? Really?
I'm just going to have to turn off my mic. If you didn't know that power play points don't count towards a plus minus, get out of here. Be gone.
Yeah, get out of here.
That seems ridiculous.
No, because you're expected to score.
That means it even worse. That makes it even worse for Brett Burns. That means he's been on the ice for 9 even strength goals. 9.
Not necessarily. That just means his points have came on the power play.
That's even worse. Yeah. Oh, okay. Now I've caught up.
I've educated people today. I'm
still,
very happy.
Still don't like Brett Burns.
It's only 11 a.m.
Sorry, Suze.
I've taught people something.
Yeah.
I did not. I'm
We're learning on Thanksgiving.
I'm honestly dumbfounded.
Jake's played in a fantasy hockey league that uses plus minus as a stat for how many years now?
I think this will be the fourth year. I didn't. Okay.
Yeah, stunned. He's stunned over here.
We'll move on.
I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Jared, all right. You said it best. So that does it for us this week.
We'll put that up on the Instagram. We'll put the four options up, we did for the last football one.
Absolutely, yep.
Well, and we'll see what you guys think is the most likely and the least likely.
Absolutely. So once more, thank you so much for listening to the Poor Sports Podcast.
Good luck to Jake and the Turkey Bowl.
Yes.
That's what I want to give.
Give
a brief what that is.
Sure, I'll shout it out. Yeah, so every year for Canadian Thanksgiving, me and some buddies get together and we play a flag football game. This is the 6th year in a row, and a lot of our Poor Sports listeners, people who have been guests on the podcast and who listen and subscribe, playing this game, so it's always a nice thing to do. So looking forward to that today. Anyways, happy Thanksgiving. I almost said Merry Christmas. Thanksgiving.
Merry Christmas to you too, though.
Happy Thanksgiving from the guys at Poor Sports to you. Thanks for listening. And again, we appreciate all the love that we get from y'all. Stay tuned.
You guys are the best.
Stay tuned. We got Jeremy's bets coming up next on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
They dragged me back in the studio, guys. I left in a huff and puff, and that's why you didn't hear the famous Poor Sports whisper at the end. They said, I need to put in a bet. I won last week. I'm like 14-6 or something. I'm still furious over the plus-minus debacle. I can't believe they didn't know that. But I'm going to go back to football. If you bet against the Cowboys like I've been telling you to do, you did well. The New Orleans Saints have also continued to do well. I believe they're a dog that you could take, but that's not my lock of the week. My lock of the week is the Arizona Cardinals on the road. Kyler Murray is going to take his red-hot offense into cold New York. He's going to face Danny Dimes and the New York Giants, a battle of rookie quarterbacks. Arizona's the dog right now. You get 2.35 times your money if you bet Arizona Cardinals on the money line, as I'm doing. That's free money, guys. Go follow the podcast, poor_sports on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music, and follow SportsFanJer, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere you can. Thanks for listening. Bye.